This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Southwest Florida's own reggae rock band Opposite States has been delivering a lively mix of reggae, rock, punk, and blues music at venues throughout the region. The band's EP Spin Cycle came out this past spring and is available on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Music, and Bandcamp. Ahead of their next performance this Friday night at Old Soul Brewing in Fort Myers, along with fellow Southwest Florida bands Bargain Bin Heroes and the Kimberleys, we're joined by Opposite States lead singer and guitarist Chris Heim to learn more about the band and to hear him perform live in studio. That's coming up later this hour. But first, the Capitol Gallery at the Sydney and Byrne Davis Art Center is currently hosting a group art show titled There's Something in the Water, featuring underwater-themed works of art from Southwest Florida artists Arturo Samaniego, Katie Dankagali, and Mila Bridger, along with world-renowned underwater photographer and scuba diving pioneer Bob Halstead. The exhibition opened July 6th in conjunction with the last Art Walk event in downtown Fort Myers, and that show runs through July 25th. Joining me now for a closer look at the exhibition are two of the artists whose work is featured in the show. With us in studio is photography artist Katie Dankagali. Katie grew up here on Florida's West Coast, which has also contributed to her becoming something of an ocean advocate. Her work has been featured in bearsports.com, Scuba Diving Magazine, Sport Diver Magazine, and divephotoguide.com, along with other publications. She's also a dive master and former photo editor at Scuba Diving Magazine. Her work has garnered accolades from the Ocean Conservancy, Our World Underwater, and she won the Cover of the Year Charlie Award in 2012. She's also the first female artist in residence for the Lee County Visitor and Convention Bureau. Katie, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And joining us by phone while she's between shoots this afternoon is Marco Island photography artist Mila Bridger, whose work is also included in the exhibition. Originally from Poland, Bridger now resides on Marco and has become known both locally and internationally for her abstractly surreal and fancifully stylized portrait work. Bridger was recognized in Gulf Shore Life magazine's 40 Under 40 Awards in 2015, and additionally, her work has been featured in Gulf Shore Life, Naples Illustrated Magazine, Gourmand Magazine, Life in Naples Magazine, PopTasticBride.com, the Naples Wine Festival, the Naples Daily News, Coastal Breeze News, FarAndAway.com in Thailand, and BabyLifestyles.com, among others. Mila Bridger, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us.
Hi, John. It's a pleasure.
And as always, I invite listeners to join the conversation. Connect with our guests with your comments and questions. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Mila, since we know your time with us is limited today, I wanted to start with you. I've attempted to characterize your work in my introduction, but how do you describe or characterize your work?
Well, I always say I manufacture fantasy because it's all coming out of my head, always. I always dream of sets and series of stories. And then that's the only outlet I can let it go.
And how do you think other abstract or surrealist artists, you know, or others have influenced your work? Because I understand from your background, your mother was a curator for the modern art portion of a museum back in Poland.
Yes, and I literally grew up with modern art and illustrated Encyclopedia of Art. That was my first book with all the photos. But my favorite was always the surreal movement, the Dada movement. I was 3 years old when my mom hosted and curated the exhibit of the Swedish surreal group, Halmstad group, and I literally fell in love with them since then.
And I understand, you know, gas masks are a reoccurring motif in your work. And that's something that you're known to collect. People will bring them to you when they come across them.
That's true, and it's been like my face, and it's been done 5 years ago. I think I did the last one. I love gas masks. I don't use them much anymore in the photos, but that was actually one of the paintings by the Halmstad group. Mark Olson, mm-hmm. I think that was his name, can't tell you the title. It's all in Swedish. But it was very surreal. And there was a chair, and on the chair was hanging gas mask. It was my favorite poster for, like, years and years in my room. Right now, I just like to make them more pretty, just customize them, put some diamonds on them or flowers just for my own. But yes, everyone keeps bringing me gas masks, so I have to do something with them.
Absolutely. I mean, does this herald back to your childhood and, you know, perhaps remnants of, you know, Cold War communism in Poland? I mean, what do they mean for you?
It might a little, because when we were at school, you get this class that you have to attend, and it was just like a preparation class. What if there will be a nuclear war? What if? So we were all like given a gas mask and learn how to use it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun.
Well, tell me specifically about the pieces of yours that are included in this current exhibition at the Sydney and Byrne Davis Art Center. Tell me just a little bit about them and what you think made them prime candidates for inclusion in this themed exhibition.
Well, I was approached for that show, and I'm not an underwater photographer. Katie's got such a beautiful stuff, and the Australian photographer is also an amazing talent. And well, in my options, there is something in the water. There is a series of my story of a mermaid's dream where she gets legs, and it's the water. There is Destiny Space in the water. There's domes. But I really wanted to do the video installation and highlight the really big problems we're having, that it's not only people think we are the garbage in the ocean, it happens somewhere else.
Mm.
No, it happens right here in our neighborhood. And there's so much trash. And just there's never enough of awareness and trying to show people, especially right now when you said, I live on Marco Island, I'm not native, I moved here. I really became close to the nature, and we all in this planet together. We can't just be very selfish, and it is happening.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really, really, really happy with the video installation, that there's a big manifest next to it talking about the pollution, the trash, the plastic. I'm hoping to make more of that.
Certainly. Yeah, it's certainly something where we hear about, you know, in the news with, you know, even local municipalities
yeah.
banning straws, but so wonderful to see it in
mm-hmm.
artwork as well. And I was hoping you could tell me a little bit more about how our unique subtropical environment here has impacted your work as well. Because as you already mentioned, you're like me and you're not native to this area. And even after more than a decade living here, I still find so much about it kind of exotic, and I kind of get the impression you feel similarly.
Yeah. Well, I've always been in the city, and being Marco Island, when you got a beach and ocean and owls, we got them everywhere, and the turtles, and it's just you getting so sensitive and aware, and my focus is right now to make more awareness videos or photos. But also, I love our beach, and I design dress that really complements the wind, the beach, the ocean. And I want to photograph women in those dresses. They are transformer dresses. Anybody can wear them. And something that I can mix an art and then commercial work.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to, you know, a commissioned portrait, do people tend to know what they're getting into when they approach you? I mean, do people ever commission you to do pieces and then they want something more conventional? Or do they know that when they come to you, it's going to be fanciful, it's going to be stylized, it's going to be just over-the-top fun?
Well, John, you know, there's always someone that just doesn't even look at your website, hires you, they just go regular photos, and we just don't talk about it. We do it.
You give them what they want.
Yeah, but most of the people will look at the website, will know what they're getting. And we always try to think something out of box and provide to them. Most of them know what they are getting into it.
And as it turns out, I recently discovered that I was a fan of your work before I actually knew who you were. There's this one piece of yours that, and again, I didn't know it was yours, but it's this lovely recreation of Renoir's Luncheon of the Boating Party. And it's still up at the Sydney and Byrne. Do you do a lot of works like that in this genre with, you know, posed and stylized photographs recreating famous works of art?
I do love doing that. I think there is a really... It's especially when the Renoir, I was creating those for the cooking for the auction item. The first one we did was the Last Supper, where I just want to bring all the people that Fort Myers know, all the artists, and let's do it in a fun way. Let's recreate the masterpiece. And sometimes I see someone and I'm like, oh my God, you look like Mona Lisa, can we do that? And it's just for my own. That's like one of the things I like to do. Yes.
That'd be neat to do underwater, actually.
Yeah,
ooh,
yeah.
Interesting.
I smell maybe a potential collaboration in the future.
I would love that.
Well, photographers Mila Bridger and Katie Dankagali are with us today. They're both featured in the group exhibition, There's Something in the Water, currently on display at the Sydney and Byrne Davis Art Center in downtown Fort Myers. That exhibit runs through July 25th. And listeners can connect with our guests now by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And I may have mentioned earlier that you've traveled around the world, and a lot of that comes from, at least in part, traveling adventures with your father. I was wondering if you could maybe tell us a little bit about that relationship, some of the places you've gone, and perhaps how those experiences have influenced your work.
Yes. My dad is a retired employee of Continental Airline at the time, and he is absolutely addicted to traveling. For him, it's the best education, knowing other cultures. And I got the same way. I love traveling. We both just get on a plane and go together. We really don't need much. We always meet new people. We want to discover cultures, and we want to always go somewhere where it's the farthest possible. Last time we went, it's been a year now, but we went to the islands of Yap, where they still use stone money.
Oh, wow.
And it was super interesting. And just talking to them and getting to know them and becoming their friends. Now we have a place to go and visit again.
Oh, excellent.
It's really interesting.
How's your father doing these days? I understand his home faced some pretty serious damage from Hurricane Harvey last year.
Yes, his house got flooded up to the roof. He lost everything.
Oh.
But there have been so many wonderful people, volunteers. There was even some nephew house that came right after Hurricane Harvey and helped him take everything out of the house. He's been slowly rebuilding, and that's what was the focus this year. We're not traveling much. We're going to travel soon. He's eager to go, but he just wants to finish so his house is livable again.
Sure, sure. Well, I do appreciate that update, and I encourage everybody to get out to the Sydney and Byrne Davis Art Center before July 25th to see the works in this current exhibition. And Mila Bridger, I know we have to let you go because you've got another photo shoot coming up, but thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. It's been great
speaking
with you.
Thank you so much, John. And bye, Katie.
Bye. Thank you.
That was Mila Bridger graciously joining us between shoots today. But we have Katie Dankagali with us in studio. She's also featured in that exhibition I mentioned, There's Something in the Water. And Katie, your approach to photography seems to be in fairly stark contrast to what we've seen with Mila Bridger. As opposed to, you know, creating moments, your approach seems to be more about capturing moments. How would you characterize your work?
Well, I try to go for atmosphere. That's always the word I try to keep in mind. And really, it's my favorite thing to just go out and have complete chaos and spontaneity in front of me and just see what I can try and make of that. You know, it's always a really big challenge to try and figure out visually how to make all those different elements work, especially when you're dealing with fish that are swimming a million miles an hour, you know, and you have to try and breathe underwater and, you know, take photos at the same time. So, yeah.
Is most of your work underwater photography? Is that your specialty?
It's my favorite thing.
Okay.
I do other stuff. You know, I do a lot of actually for 15 years, I've been going to the Alifai River Rendezvous, which is a pre-1840 rendezvous. You basically just live in teepees for like 2 weeks. So that's a personal project I've done for 15 years. And
where is that?
It's up in not Brandon. Bartow, Florida.
Bartow, okay.
Yeah, and there's no cell phones, no electricity, no running water, and the people there are just incredible. They know all about Florida history. They know, you know, about Native American history. It's just – it's a really interesting place to go, so –
And I understand you've kind of grown up along the Gulf Coast of Florida here, which, as one might expect, has really fostered this love of, you know, the water and the ocean environment and diving. I understand there was a particular sea camp experience in the Keys in your childhood that really cemented that connection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was when I went down there, you know, my parents were kind of broke at the time. And, you know, they had to scrape the money together. And I went down there and you know, up until that point, it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And I just instantly was like, this, I'm going to somehow make my career about this, you know. You know, it's a little bit devastating to go down there now. It doesn't look nearly like it did back then. Mm. But I just, you know, I just thank God every day that I was able to actually see that the way it is, you know. And it goes the same for here. Growing up here, I remember there used to be quail in Cape Coral. And in my backyard, and you know, you never get to see that anymore. So,
yeah.
So that's really my focus, is just trying to remind people there's still a lot of really beautiful stuff here to save. You know,
where on your personal timeline did the interest in photography develop?
I guess it had always kind of been there. I had always done, you know, just general art. Painting stuff, which I'm awful at painting, but drawing, things like that. And I was always really frustrated with the drawing process because I couldn't get out what I wanted to say quickly enough. And so doing the photography, you know, I could immediately just tell people what I was trying to say. You know, and I've always had an interest in the ocean, and it just completely blended, you know, the two together very easily. So...
Yeah. And I wanted to talk about the equipment that you use, because I imagine with, you know, primarily with underwater work, of course, you've got to think about the waterproof quality of the equipment you're using.
Yeah.
But then I'm also imagining, you know, the way light bends in water. There's all these things you would have to take into account that maybe somebody who doesn't delve below the surface wouldn't really have to think about.
Well, I pretty much use wide angle, like a fisheye lens. And people wouldn't think a fisheye lens would work underwater. They'd think that it would, you know, bend everything. And when they see my photos, everything looks like it's on a flat plane. And it's just because of the refraction underwater. That's why we use a big dome port, curved glass, you know, it counteracts for the refraction. So the rig I use, I don't know if you want to get that detailed, but it's Aquatica. I use a Canon 5D Mark III. And it's a beast. It's a big transformer. It weighs about 30 pounds, and it takes me about 2.5 to 3 hours to set everything up. And I am extremely precise about, you know, making sure that there's no – I have three cats, so making sure there's no cat hair on my O-rings is like a really big concern. So, yeah.
And is this in addition to, you know, all the typical diving gear?
Yeah, and, you know, the longer you do it, the more it's just a second nature thing, you know. Once you get proficient enough at the diving part, it's like you're on land. You know, you don't have to think about the mechanics any longer. But recently I've really been getting into a lot of more snorkeling, especially locally, which has been a challenge. When I worked for the VCB, you know, they wanted photos from Lee County. And I knew I wanted to do underwater work, but, you know, our water clarity is not that great. So I was having to go at a high slack tide, you know, on a week when we had had no rain, and this was over the summer, which never happens,
right.
But I got really lucky. And I was doing all over under images, which are half above water, half below water. And that's how I was able to capture a lot of this stuff, you know. And I mean, this area, you know, Edison lived here, you know, and we have a very like antique-y sort of atmosphere. It's very old school, old Florida. And so I kind of wanted to show, you know, the old school style of living here that still exists, you know, people fishing and people, you know, swimming with their kids and things like that.
Yeah. So. And let's talk a bit about some of the specific pieces that have been selected for inclusion in this current exhibit at the Sidney and Byrne Davis Art Center. Tell us about what's in there.
Well, I have a couple of images from the Dry Tortugas, which is magical. I love that spot. You know, I've gone two times now, 2015, 2017, and we always go primitive camping. And so I had a few images that I took there, which is not an easy process when there's no running water and I have this camera I have to keep in fresh water. So that's definitely a bit of a process. But one image I have is of a giant fish mating ball in Palau. I ended up winning this raffle trip to go there. It was like a liveaboard trip. And it's just incredible. I mean, the water is just so deep and so clear. And they've been able to pinpoint multiple different species of fish to the minute of when they spawn. And it's always on a new or a full moon in the spring. So the first dive we did, we went to about 90 feet, and the current was the most insane ripping current ever. Like, I was just on the bottom of the ocean, just gripping as much sand as I could to keep me from flying away. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, and I imagine, again, as a master diver and underwater photographer, the goal is encounters with wildlife. I'm wondering if you have any stories about encounters that maybe got a little too close for comfort.
I guess a lot of crab issues. I've had a lot of them try to attack my dome port. For some reason, that's the one species that just really doesn't want me around at all. You know, most of the time when I have the best interactions is honestly when I don't have my camera. I feel like that's when you can connect a lot more with the animal because you don't have this giant thing that's blocking your face, you know. So in Palau, there's this one area where you do a reef hook because the current is so crazy. So you just hook into the reef and, you know, we're sitting there. Hundreds of black-tipped sharks just start coming out of nowhere. And they don't want anything to do with you. They just sit there and stare at you, you know. But, yeah, that was a really amazing encounter. And I didn't have my camera that time. But yeah. You think, you know, so many people have their cameras out at all times. And you think when you don't have the camera – there's nothing to distract you. All you have is just that pure interaction, you know. So I always try to advocate if you're going to be an underwater photographer, remember to put the camera down every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, I'm a certified diver myself, but lamentably I rarely get out anymore. And, you know, what I really love about works like yours is how it sort of creates this accessibility to – you know, the magic that's just below the surface of the water. I mean, is that kind of part of why you do what you do, to sort of share that with the rest of us? And I guess what I'm asking is there sort of a drive towards ocean conservation in your work, aside from just, you know, the sheer artistry of capturing these great images?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is somewhat selfish because I think, God, there's corals on the other side of the world that I don't know if I'll be able to ever see. And, you know, with the bleaching rates and all that. But yeah, a lot of it is just to tell people, this isn't scary. You can do this. You know, there's nothing that's going to get you. You know, I did I went to Hawaii this year and I did this shark encounter, shark snorkeling, non-baited, no cage. And there were about 30 sharks, Galapagos sharks in the water. You know, they're swimming right next to you. They don't want anything to do with you. You know, they can tell the difference between human and fish blood, and they're not attracted to human blood. And I try to tell as many people about this as I can because, you know, people are so terrified. They say, I would love to get dive certified, but sharks, you know. So, yeah, that's a huge proponent of why I'm trying to do this. So,
Yeah. And something else interesting I read about you, and I can't let this go. Your bio mentions that you were a Boy Scout.
Yes.
And of course, you know, the Boy Scouts mission has become, you know, more open and inclusive in recent years, but I can't imagine that would have included the time that you were there.
No, I mean, it was a challenge. They actually own a private island in the Keys, and it's all primitive. Again, no running water. You know, you kayak 6 miles to get out there, and it was me and a bunch of 12-year-olds. So I had to basically dress like a man, act like a man, you know, do all the man stuff. And you're out there fishing, swimming, doing all kinds of stuff. And, you know, you really have to work hard to prove yourself to these kids. And you know, if you are lackadaisical about it, then they won't respect you. But I do think it had a huge impact on my life. You know, I always wanted to be a Boy Scout. I was like, wow, they get to do so much cool stuff. So, yeah.
All right. Well, that is about all the time we have for this portion of the program. But do you have any final thoughts to leave with our listeners, either about, you know, our crazy ocean world just below the surface or photography?
Ooh, I guess just like I said, don't be afraid to try it. People are so scared. There's nothing that's going to get you. You know, you have a greater risk of getting in your car every day. I mean, you know, your house cat would kill you if it could. So,
right. Well, thanks so much for coming and speaking with us and sharing your work with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it, too.
That is all the time we have for this portion of the program. And thanks so much to my guests. We've been speaking with artist and photographer Katie Danka-Ghali. And earlier, we were joined by Mila Bridger. Works by both of these artists is included in a group exhibition titled There's Something in the Water. That's currently on display at the Sydney and Byrne Davis Art Center's Capitol Gallery. That's in their facility in downtown Fort Myers. And that show will remain on display through July 25th. Katie, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, Southwest Florida's own reggae rock band Opposite States has been delighting local audiences with their high-energy sound, along with tracks from their EP Spin Cycle, which came out earlier this year. Their next show will be tomorrow night at Old Soul Brewing here in Fort Myers. But ahead of that show, the band's lead singer and guitarist Chris Hine is with us in studio to tell us more about the band and to perform live. That's just ahead. Stay with us. I'm John Davis, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Thank you.